If you've attended Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church for any period of time, you've likely noticed that as we come to the end of our prayer time, the pastoral prayer, even as we did just moments ago, as I close off that prayer time week by week, I so often, indeed always, just before the message and just at the end of that prayer time, close the prayer in a particular way. This, of course, too, is not unique to me. Many pastors, all pastors, most pastors do this at some place prior to the message. It is not unique to me, and you hear it week by week, but I do want to draw your attention to it in particular this morning by way of introduction. And that is, as we come to this time, as we move into God's Word week by week, as I begin to preach my sermon, I always endeavor to pray and to ask that the Holy Spirit would be present and that the Holy Spirit would be at work. We, as pastors and preachers, do so. I do so in particular, speaking for myself, because I am very much aware of my own weaknesses, my own inabilities, my own frailty, my own need of the Spirit to be at work as I preach and as we look to God's Word. Without Him, our time is wasted. If He is not present right now at work, our time is wasted. So we praise God. We praise God that He has sent to us His Holy Spirit, even as our text this morning speaks of. That Jesus promised that when He goes back to the Father, Jesus promises again in our text this morning that He will send the Spirit. And praise be to God, He fulfilled that promise. That He went to the Father and that He sent the Spirit. Here in our text this morning, once again, in John 15, moving this morning even into John 16, we are continuing in what is called sometimes the Upper Room Discourse. It began back in chapter 13. It continues on into chapter 17, where Jesus is issuing forth to the 11 there. For soon, towards the beginning of that time, Judas leaves to go and betray Him. And in this time, Jesus speaks to the 11, to His disciples, and He offers to them His final words. And what He is saying, what He is speaking as He offers those final words, is that He is telling them He will be going away. He will be going away. He will be going to the cross, and then He will be ascending to the Father. And as He goes away, He's leaving them with these final words. And final words, final instructions, we all understand, whatever the situation, whoever is delivering it, those are always very important words, aren't they? And that's what we're hearing here. That's what we've been seeing for the last number of weeks, number of months indeed, as we've been working through this Upper Room Discourse. That Jesus is delivering His final words, for He's going to be going away, going back to the Father, for His work then will be done. But in these final words, on a number of occasions, including this morning, and as a crucial part of these final words, words of comfort, words of instruction, Jesus tells them a number of times that as He goes to the Father, He will send the Holy Spirit. He will send the Holy Spirit. And as I have said a number of times now, that appears in our text, indeed, in the first verse of our text this morning, in chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. We'll stop there for now. Jesus once again speaks of, Jesus once again promises to these ones whom He will be leaving that He will not leave them as orphans, as He says elsewhere when He promises the Spirit. Rather, He will be sending the Spirit to them. Jesus says he will go to the Father. Jesus says here that he will send the Spirit from the Father. Elsewhere it says the Father will send the Spirit. Jesus sends the Spirit. The Father sends the Spirit. The Spirit comes from the Father. And what we see here is in these first words of our text is that as Christ was sent for the sending forth of the Son, the sending forth of Christ has been, as I've repeatedly pointed out to you, for the last, what is it now, 3 years, something like that, as we've been going through John, as I've repeatedly pointed out to you, this major theme of the sending of the Son. Even as we've seen that repeatedly, now we see in this upper room discourse, and specifically here in this verse and other verses where the Spirit is promised, is that as Christ was sent, even so the Spirit is sent. That as Christ came to fulfill a mission, even so the Spirit is sent forth to perform a mission, a specific mission, a specific work. For we read here, as I've just noted in these early words in this first verse, for when Christ sends the Spirit, he sends him, verse 26, as the helper. He not only sends him forth, but he sends him forth, and the Father sends him forth, to perform a mission, to be the helper. And that word indicates one who draws alongside, and draws alongside as an aid, as an advocate, as a helper. And indeed here, it's not just that the Spirit comes, it's that the Spirit is sent forth. It is the Spirit sent forth with a mission. It is the Spirit sent forth with a mission to be the helper and the advocate. So the question is, as we now move further into the text, how is it that the Spirit helps? How is it that the Spirit will help the apostles here to whom these words are being delivered? How is it that the Spirit helps us as that, by extension, that promise comes down to us? Well, we continue on. We continue on and we will see how it is that the Spirit helps. For even as verse 26 continues, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, and here we go, he will testify of me. There you have it. There you have it. That is how the Spirit will help. At least that's one of the ways that the Spirit will help. And that is the way that we shall focus on this morning, for that is what is identified in our text this morning as the means by which the Spirit will help the apostles, the Spirit will help the believer, will help you and I, if you are here this morning as a believer. We've answered the question already. The Spirit will help in that the Spirit bears witness to Christ. The Spirit testifies of Christ. This is important. This is important for understanding the work of the Spirit. This actually undergirds all that the Spirit does. That the Spirit testifies of Christ. Why am I saying this is so important? You need to understand something that is being said here. You need to understand something with great emphasis in order to properly understand the workings of the Holy Spirit in all that he does, not only testifying to Christ. And that is the following, that the Spirit does not bear testimony, bear witness of himself. The Spirit does not testify of himself. The Spirit does not bear witness to himself. The Spirit does not seek to glorify himself, but rather here, and even cast your eyes further down the page in chapter 16, Jesus will say there in just a few verses that the Spirit will glorify me, he says. Will glorify me. The Spirit does not glorify himself. The Spirit does not testify of himself. Rather, the work of the Spirit as a helper is to testify to Christ. And the overarching work of the Spirit is to point to Christ and to glorify Christ. And we need to understand that in order to understand the working of the Spirit. So first of all, we see here that the Spirit is the helper to the apostles, the helper to us, in that the Spirit testifies of Christ. So now let's dig deeper and note once again, as we've already said, as we've noted many times, and as is very apparent, but we need to be reminded of on occasion, is first and foremost here, as Jesus delivers these words, he is speaking to the 11. He's speaking first and foremost to the 11, to the apostles, when he says that I will send the helper to you and he will testify to you of me. He is speaking first of all here, not exclusively, but first of all to the 11 disciples, to the apostles. Earlier in chapter 14 and verse 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And that clearly is a promise that is being delivered to the apostles, for they are the ones who actually heard with their ears those things that Jesus had been teaching them for the last 3 years. And so Jesus offers up the promise there in chapter 14 and verse 26 that the Spirit will come and he will bring to your remembrance all those things that I've been teaching you. And likewise, using different words, but in chapter 15, our text this morning and verse 26, he says once again that the Spirit will come and he will testify of me. In other words, thinking first of all here as we are of the apostles and what these words, what this promise meant to them. And then later we will bring it down to us. But first of all, in terms of the apostles, here Jesus is saying, if we could paraphrase, the Holy Spirit will come, for I will send him. And he will testify to you of me. He will testify of Christ to the apostles. And he will bring to their remembrance all those things that Jesus has been teaching them. And he will help them remember all those things that Jesus has been teaching. But not only help them remember, also, as the Spirit, the helper, the testifier, if we will, as he comes, and as the apostles then are able to look back to the cross from that perspective, and aided by that perspective, as well as being aided by the help of the Holy Spirit, they are able not only to remember, but now they are able to understand. And understand all those things that Jesus has been teaching. But not only will the Spirit with the apostles help them remember, not only as he testifies of Christ will he help them understand, but there's another thing that you and I ought to be really, really thankful for. And that is, by the testifying of the Holy Spirit, the apostles themselves can pass that on. The apostles themselves can then testify. And that's what it says in the next verse as we continue to work through the text here. And you also, the 11, you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. You will bear witness. You've been with me from the beginning. I've told you all these things. The Spirit will come. He will testify. He'll help you remember. He'll help you understand. And then you yourselves will pass it on. You yourselves will testify. They also will bear witness. They also, the apostles, will testify. They will bear witness. They will testify through their preaching, the apostolic preaching, which we see in the book of Acts. They will testify by their preaching, by their apostolic teaching, and also by their apostolic writings, which come down to us. They will pass on also through these Holy Spirit-inspired writings, they will pass on to us. In that way, in those ways, I should say, they pass on, they testify. And that preaching, that teaching, these inspired writings become the foundation of the church where Christ is the cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Thus, we see, first of all, that the Holy Spirit helps by testifying. The Holy Spirit testifies of Christ. He does so, we see also, by testifying of Christ to the apostles, first of all. But also, as we continue on, and as we do the logical extension of this, and I don't think I'm making Scripture do something that it's not intending to do here, as we extend this, I believe very much that this can be extended. The trajectory, as I will call it later, can be extended beyond the apostles, and it comes to us. That the Spirit testifies of Christ. The Spirit testifies of Christ to the apostles, and the apostles and the Holy Spirit testify of Christ to us. How does the Spirit testify of Christ to us? Well, go back again to the first verse, to how the Holy Spirit is described in this text. A wonderful title, a wonderful, wonderful descriptor is given to the Holy Spirit back in verse 26, that he is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. And thus he testifies to us also. Through the apostles, through their Holy Spirit-inspired writings, it comes to us. His testimony becomes the apostles' testimony and comes down to us also. But there's another way that the Spirit testifies to us, I believe. Another way that the Scriptures speak of the Spirit testifying to us. And I believe it's even in these words that are recorded here in John 15 when it speaks of the Spirit testifying of Christ. That is, we've already talked about the Spirit testifying of Christ to us in that he has delivered to us, if you will, if I can put it that way, through the apostles and coming down to us, he has delivered that truth. He has delivered and provided us with that testimony of Christ. But it's not only his provision of that testimony, but also, and hear me, and with this, think back to the way I introduced this message this morning. Also, as we read that which he has provided, he is also in that, working in that, and testifying to us and to our spirit as we read and illuminating the pages of Scripture for us so that we, like the apostles, understand. We understand what is before us in the Scripture. That is why, as I said in my introduction, that is why I pray before each message that I deliver. That is why I pray, because we need the Spirit to be present as we consider the Word. We need the Spirit to be testifying even now, not only in the provision of this, but even now as we launch ourselves into the Word. We need the Spirit to be testifying, to be illuminating, to be allowing us to understand what is before us in the Scriptures. That is why I pray as I do, as I said. That is why we pray that God would be at work as we approach the text of Scripture, that God would be at work, and I often use these words, these very words, and I use them deliberately. By your Spirit through the Word. And the point I make each time I use that phrase, and the point I'm trying to deliver to you now is the same point, and that is we need both. At times like this, we need both. We need not only to enter into the Word, but we need to enter into the Word as we are being guided and as the pages of the Scriptures are being illuminated to us by the Spirit, as the Spirit gives testimony to us through the Word, through the Word. Both are needed when I preach. Both are needed when you open your Bibles at home. Both are needed, and we need the Spirit to be present here now, or else it's just hot air being spilled out of my mouth, unless the Spirit is at work in our midst through the Word. And unless, when you are at home and opening up your Bible at home, unless you pause and pray and earnestly endeavor to have the Spirit at work in you as you are reading that scripture, that time in the Word can be at least in danger of falling into simply checking off a box in your daily Bible reading program. But every time we enter into the Word, whether it's on an occasion like this, we prayerfully desire that the Spirit would be at work. Do you see now the trajectory that I have presented, that the Scriptures present to us this morning? Do you see now the trajectory that we've been working through and are almost done, but not quite done? What is that trajectory, as I put it? The Spirit testifies. The Spirit testifies of Christ. The Spirit testifies of Christ to the apostles. The apostles and the Spirit testify to us. And now I think you can finish the trajectory, can't you? And we are to carry forth and also pass on and to testify of Christ to each other, first of all, but also to a world that doesn't know Christ. We need to testify of Christ to the world, of his being sent into the world, as John speaks of so often, of his being sent into the world on a mission, of his sinless life, his perfect obedience in this world. We need to testify of his death, whereby through faith in Christ, we might receive forgiveness of sins, we might receive salvation. We need to testify of that. We need to testify of his resurrection from the dead, by which all those who are trusting in him will not face death, will never die, because Christ lives, they will live also. We need to testify of his resurrection. We need to testify of Christ. We need to testify that he is now ascended to the Father and is at the Father's right hand, where he is Lord of lords, Lord of all. We must testify of Christ. We must carry that forth into a world that does not know him. And I want to pause just before I move on and just deliver the last couple of points before we, and as we move to an ending this morning. But I want to pause briefly before I do, and say one more thing about all that we've been talking about thus far, and of the Spirit testifying of Christ. And I want to say this in particular to those who might be present this morning who don't know Christ. And let me say this with all love and humility. I would say to you, take and read. Read the scriptures. For that is important. That is vitally important. But something more than that. I would say to you, take and read. Read the scriptures. But as you do so, come to the scriptures as one who has not yet trusted in Christ. Come to the scriptures desiring, seeking, and desiring to see Christ. Desiring to see and hear the Spirit testify of Christ to you. And I and others here will be praying that indeed, as you do so, that the Lord, that God would open your heart, and that you would see, that you would hear that testimony, and see and understand the glories of Christ. We continue on in our text, and need to be reminded again, as the text reminds us, of the context in which we make that proclamation, the context in which we give that testimony of Christ and point to Christ. For that context is a context, as we saw last week and was the focus of our time last week, we also are reminded briefly but importantly this week in verses 2 and 3 we are of chapter 16 now. We are reminded that that passing on, that testifying, takes place in a context of persecution. It did so for the apostles. It will do so for you and I. For that is what the Lord spoke of last week in chapter 15, verses 18 through 25. And that is what we see again in verses 2 and 3 this week. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. If you read those words, I would urge you to then read the book of Acts. And you will see that these words were not only fulfilled, but they were literally fulfilled in every way. They were literally fulfilled with the apostles. And according to chapter 15, verses 18 through 25 last week, they will be fulfilled and are being fulfilled in believers today. Remember last week, when the world hates you, which it will, remember it hated me first. That is the context as we consider here the passing on, the testifying that we are to do to the world of Christ. That is the context in which we offer forth that testimony. And so it is today, a context of persecution. But nevertheless, we are to continue on. We are to continue on faithfully to testify. For what did John tell us way back at the beginning? I reminded you of this last week. In the face of persecution, in the face of the rejection that the Lord faced and that we will face largely, I offered up last week and I offer up these words this week again. From the earliest words, the first chapter of John, as an encouragement to you to remain faithful in that testimony. And John says in that first chapter, for he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, as many as did receive him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. And so despite the context of the world's opposition, we continue forth faithfully to testify of Christ. Finally, and in conclusion this morning, kept by Christ. You may have noticed that I went from verse 27 to verses 2 and 3. In other words, I skipped over verse 1, and I have not yet spoken of verse 4. That was deliberate, because verse 1 parallels very much verse 4. They go together, and they go together surrounding verses 2 and 3. They are an implication. There's kind of a therefore that comes out of verses 2 and 3 that leads us into verses 1 and 4. Verse 1 says, these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. Verse 4 parallels it somewhat. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, what time is that? The time of persecution. When the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. So these two verses 1 and 4, are wrapped around verses 2 and 3. In verses 2 and 3, Jesus speaks of the persecution. And in verses 1 and 4, wrapped around it, he's kind of saying, therefore, he's giving the implication, therefore, because you will face persecution, Jesus is saying here, if I can paraphrase slightly, because you will face persecution as you testify of me, that I needed to tell you these things. I needed to tell you these things so that when it happens, when that persecution, when that hatred, when that opposition comes to you, you will not stumble. You will not fall away. Now, the first thing we need to note, as soon as we read those words, stumble or fall away, however it's translated in your version, your English version, the thing that I must immediately say, because Scripture repeatedly makes this important point, is that it is impossible for a believer to fall away. It is impossible for a believer to fall away, to lose their faith, and to no longer be of Christ and be in Christ. Why do I say that? Well, because Scripture says that repeatedly, and the Gospel of John says that repeatedly. And the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27 and following. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Amen? Amen? And I shall give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Is anyone able to snatch you out of the Father's hand? Is anyone able to snatch any believer out of Christ's hand? Is it possible for a believer to stumble and fall away? No. Likewise, that was John 10. Likewise, here in chapter 16, verse 1. These things I've spoken to you, that, in order that, to make sure that, you should not be made to stumble. Well, if it's not possible for the believer to lose their salvation, then why is Jesus even talking about falling away here? Well, in this particular case, I would suggest that it's for the following reason. Because the words that he is delivering here will keep us. It is the words and the truths that he is delivering here that will help to keep us, will make it sure that no one can pluck us out of his hand. These things are necessary things. These things strengthen us. These things make sure that we do not fall away. How is it that these truths make sure that we shall not fall away? Well, at least two ways, and with this I close. First of all, when the opposition comes, when these things come to you, as Jesus says here, you need to remember. And as a result of your remembering these things which Jesus said, the first thing that will strengthen you is you will realize that these events, these things that are happening to you, are not just things that are happening to you. What do I mean by that? They are not just things that are chaotically and randomly happening to you. They are not things happening to you because the world wills it to be that way, but rather they are happening to you because it is all part of the Father's perfect purposes and perfect plans. And that is something that is very much strengthening. As we know, even as the opposition comes, even as the suffering comes upon us, that is part of living in this sin-cursed and fallen creation, even as those things come upon us, we remember what Jesus said, and we say, God is working out his purposes in my life. That was number one. Number two here, briefly. Secondly, what has Jesus been talking about? Secondly, when these things come upon us, when that opposition comes, as we testify of Christ, the opposition comes, the persecution comes, and we remember these words, the second thing that happens is we remember that the Spirit testifies of Christ. For that's the main point here that Jesus has been making. And if you haven't heard me making that point this morning, then I must be miscommunicating this morning. Hopefully that has been clear. That is the point this morning. The Spirit testifies of Christ. And when we face that opposition and remember what Jesus is saying here, we remember that the Spirit is testifying of Christ. That the Spirit testifies of him. And therefore, we look to the Word. As we face that opposition, we attune ourselves to hear the Spirit by looking to the Word. And we hear the testimony that comes from the Spirit, the testimony that comes through the Word from the Spirit to us of Christ. The Spirit testifies to Christ. Therefore, hear his testimony. First of all, to the unbeliever, to the one who does not yet know Christ, I say to you once again, even as I paused earlier and said to you, hear the Spirit's testimony. Hear the Spirit's testimony of Christ. Hear the Spirit's testimony once again of Christ who died as an atoning sacrifice for sin that we might know salvation. Hear the Spirit's testimony of Christ who was raised from the dead. Hear the Spirit's testimony of Christ who is Lord of all. Hear the Spirit's testimony also of Christ who is coming again to judge the living and the dead, coming again to judge, coming again to welcome his own into his kingdom. If you're here as an unbeliever here this morning, hear the testimony of the Spirit as he testifies to Christ. For there is salvation in no other. Hear his testimony. And then finally, to you who are believers this morning, to you who are believers who carry forth faithfully that testimony of Christ, we pray, into this world, into our community, into this world, and to the four corners of the earth, as we testify of Christ. Testify of Christ in a world that is set against him, amidst persecution, amidst suffering in this sin-cursed, fallen creation. Hear the testimony of the Spirit also, you, to you I say that. Hear the testimony of the Spirit through the Word. Be pointed again and again in the midst of all of that. Be pointed again and again and again and again to Christ. As you are, be strengthened, be encouraged, and yourselves carry on and testify of Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Father, keep us faithful. Keep us faithful, I pray. Keep me faithful. Keep each one of my dear brothers and sisters here this morning faithful. We thank you that we are held in the palm of your hand and no man can pluck us away. But keep us faithful. Keep us faithful in our proclamation. Keep us faithful in our proclamation of the glories of Christ, of the salvation that is to be found in Christ and no other. Keep us faithful until he comes. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.